Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to a special NBA Finals After Dark episode. It is Thursday, June 11th, exactly 9:30 on the Pacific Coast. I'm your host, Sky Dickinson. I'll be joined by Keegan McNamara, who's a little closer to the actual coast than I am down in San Diego, and Lindell French from the great state of... Where exactly are you, dude?
I was going to see if you caught the right
joking.
Carolina this time. I am now in North
Charlotte,
Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte. There it is.
I got you, buddy. No, I'm just playing around. This guy has been all over. He's just closed down shop at a very, very well-known, established steakhouse, and he's man enough to join us right on time, dude. I'm going to let you start the show because the Dubs are your team, dude. He's been on this team since he was a young man, and this has been a magical year for him. It reminds me a lot of what I was able to experience in the early, right after the turn of the century with the Kings, although that went south. It looked for a second after Game 3, man. I was really ready to hitch my wagon to Cleveland, but after this display tonight, I'm totally a believer that the Dubs are going to take it. I think they take it in six. How do you see it, my good man, and welcome to the show.
I like it. My thought was whoever won tonight would win the series. I figured Golden State would bounce back. I mean, Seattle's been playing outrageously well on defense. But they've also, before tonight, Golden State was just missing shots that they generally make. And I figured that wasn't going to last. And obviously I knew they'd make some adjustments. Kerr has done this, time and time again. There hasn't been too many times where they've been really had their backs against the wall, but it happened in the Memphis series, about a month ago now. These playoffs just keep going and going. When push comes to shove, Kerr has shown the ability and the willingness to change things around, mix things up. And, as they were saying today, Iguodala pretty much outplayed LeBron tonight, or at least played him to a wash.
Yeah.
And, they came back, and the Warriors found their offense again. And they looked like the Warriors of old, or not of old, but of a week ago.
For sure.
And it was a beautiful thing to see. And I really do think, I don't think it goes six. I think home court holds out the rest of the way. I think Warriors win game five. Cleveland will rally to pick one up on game six, and that game seven will be just phenomenal.
Oh, that wouldn't that be amazing? I think that would be... What would it be, a week from Sunday? Is that possible? I don't know. Yeah.
I think Friday. I believe Friday.
Friday.
It's going to go
okay.
Sunday, Tuesday, Friday is how it would go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I've checked it out because I've got work to worry about getting in my way of these night games. So I will
sure.
be available for all of them. So Sunday evening, Tuesday evening, Friday evening.
Great start, my man, as always. MC Hammer's on board with what you said. He just tweeted that Cleveland was out-coached tonight. Obvious reference to Iguodala starting in place of Bogut. It was an odd game. I'm going to throw it down here to Keegs in just a sec. But, we had Joey Crawford. I'm kind of tired of seeing this guy in big games. He's such an ego, this referee, little guy, yelling at players. I mean, it's clearly can be seen on the national broadcast. I mean, clean it up a little. But you're supposed to be the pro out there. And the players yelling at each other. LeBron hits his head on a camera. See the guy yelling at the poor cameraman? He's like, yeah, this is your fault. You're an asshole. This is your fault. Did you guys catch that one?
I missed that.
That was nuts.
I missed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you get a chance to watch a replay, man, it was bizarre there for a second. Some profanities on national television. The great Mike Breen covered up for it as well as he always does. So throwing it down to Keegs there, give us an analysis of how these next three games go. It's boiled down to a three-game series. And as well, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks. I mean, first off, this is up until tonight, this has got to be the most exciting NBA Finals I remember seeing. So I couldn't wait for this game to get started. I was so pumped up. But frankly, it went pretty much how I thought it would as well. I mean, I'm right on board with everything Lindell said. I knew, my feeling is if Cleveland had come out and continued to play it the way they played it and actually won this game, that this series was over. I didn't expect that. It was time for Golden State to turn things around. I thought it was fascinating that Bogut only played 3 minutes. I mean, to go from starter minutes to 3 minutes, that's a huge adjustment, and it worked. I mean, David Lee played 15. You know, this guy hasn't seen action in months. You know, all season basically.
Yeah.
You know, showed last game he's staying ready. He's, you know, a consummate professional, comes off the bench and contributes right away. Had a huge game last game. Comes in tonight, scores 9 points, 5 rebounds in 15 minutes. It was just, you know, it's interesting to see how they mix up, you know, how Steve Kerr mixed up the lineup. But going forward, yeah, I'm home. I'm with Lynn on that. I think it goes 7. I hope it goes 7 because after this, there's no more basketball. So I'm rooting for a long series. But I think this was the Golden State Warrior team that we've all been waiting for and expecting. I mean, this is how I thought every game was going to go. You know, close, but really Golden State was going to control it from the get. And, you know, so they finally showed up. And I think right now Cleveland, even though it's 2-2, their back is against the wall. I mean, I think this is Golden State series here.
Yeah. It's interesting. You're both on board with the 7-game. You're going to 7, and I would love to see that as well, that epic Friday night showdown in front of the whole world. The energy in these buildings has just been amazing. Both crowds have just been phenomenal. The way the cameras present the game these days, they're, you know, so high definition. They can zoom out so far. Back in the, you know, in the 80s, we were watching, they were zooming in on the guy with the ball. I mean, you didn't even see all 10 players. And now you got at least half of the court at all times. It's just an epic presentation. I got to give everybody involved props for that. Here's why I see it going 6 real quick is that, you know, the air is completely out of Cleveland's sails. LeBron is beat up. Everybody's so beat up. The fact that you have a team representing the Eastern Conference in the finals that, you know, is missing a third of their roster. Everybody else is dinged up. Dellavedova's out there cramping up. LeBron's breaking his head open on a camera. The season's just way too long. And these guys are like stumbling to a belligerent finish here in the most important games of the year. Loss of Kyrie Irving is obviously huge. Dellavedova had a couple games there where it looked like it was, you know, he was going to be this Hoosiers type of story, but had a horrible, horrible game tonight. Curry beat him left and right, and the weight on LeBron's shoulders is just too massive. After Golden State beats him probably by 10 or 15 at home on Sunday, they're going to come back to Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to be so nervous and so tight and, you know, and so pressured, and nobody's going to be hitting their shots, and I think Warriors are going to walk with that one, and game over. So we shall see, and I agree.
I would certainly take that, but I just feel like this Cleveland team has shown so much guts and so much heart that I think they might have one more in front of the home crowd. You know, LeBron just has one of those as a real, you know, another 44-point game where he makes it, but he also makes everyone better. He has another one of those. You just can't really count them out. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people were tempted to count them out completely after game one when Kyrie Irving went out. And, I mean, that's, you see where that gets you.
the thing that we have to remember is it's always easy to overreact right after the game, right? After game one, we would say, Golden State Warriors, they got this thing locked up. Next two games, if we'd done this show after last game, we would not be saying what we just said, right?
You're totally right.
I mean, Cleveland was clearly in control. So, they had an off night. I mean, J.R. Smith was atrocious. They got nothing from, you know, basically, you know, Iman Shumpert had 5 points. J.R. Smith had 4 points. You know, yeah, they may bounce back. Maybe after next game we're singing a different song. But yeah, it's easy to overreact right after that game and think that that's exactly how the rest of the games are going to go. But may not be the case.
Yeah, it's human nature. Very good point, Keeks. Let me bounce this off you guys. What did you think of the officiating tonight? It was interesting. They laid off the whistle a lot at times. I thought there was a lot of LeBron moves, a lot of things Cleveland did that in the regular season would have drawn a foul, Timothy Mozgov a couple times. And then there was times on the other end, the Warriors, where I think they got the benefit of a few whistles that you wouldn't typically get on the road. Joey Crawford, not a big fan. But obviously I think we would all lean towards the fact that we like a game officiated with a loose whistle. But it creates inconsistency. So how do you, if the game is refereed very, very close in Golden State, I think that bodes extremely well for Golden State. But anyways, just real quick, what were your views on how it was officiated? You watched every minute of the game, Keeks.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that I thought was egregious. I like how the referees have been letting them play, letting the players decide the championship. I mean, historically, if you go back to the NBA Finals, the refs swallow the whistles. You know, that's just how it goes. You gotta earn those fouls, and even if the game's on the line, they're probably not going to call it. The whole thing when LeBron got hacked by Iggy last game, I mean, that was such
an
obvious foul.
He got hacked a bunch of times tonight, too. Yeah, no, you bring him up, man.
He did, but, the one that was so obvious where he was in the post and he just, Iguodala came across his arm, he had traveled. He had moved his pivot foot, so the ref didn't call that, and it was right in front of the ref. The ref saw the travel. He didn't want to call LeBron James for a travel in that position in the NBA Finals game. But if you don't call the travel, you can't then call the foul that happens right after it. You can't have it both ways. So I'm fine with that. There was clearly, if you want to get technical, if they want to call a tight game, clearly they're letting these guys play. But I just think that's the way you let the NBA Finals be decided.
Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say without really saying it is it seems like they're letting the Warriors play against the Cavs a lot more than they are the Cavs against the Warriors. And I'm seeing this completely as an impartial viewer. I love the way both of these teams play. I think if LeBron pulls it out, he'll honestly have to be mentioned in the same sentence as Jordan. But I've already demonstrated that. I do not think that's going to come close to happening. All right, let's move on. Throughout, Lindell, we'll start with you, man. The biggest stock rise, what player, what person, what figure from either of these teams has had their stock rise the most throughout this postseason? What do you got there, man?
Well, I mean, that's a very interesting question because there's a ton of different ways you could go with it. If you ask me this before tonight's game, I might have said LeBron for exactly what you were just saying. If that had continued, if they'd won tonight, and it still could happen where they win this series. If Cleveland won this series, LeBron would have done something that's more impressive than anything Jordan ever did. This title would be more impressive than any of Jordan's titles. With winning
totally
this title with this team against this Warriors team would absolutely. And I mean, and those first three games of this series for LeBron were, I think, the most impressive thing, start to a finals in an individual ever. And as far as great as Jordan was, he always had Pippen, he always had his number two, and he always had the great people around him, and this would have been, it still could be, an all-time performance that you'd have to all of a sudden say, yeah, well, Jordan never did what LeBron's doing right now. But as far as other players, I mean, Tristan Thompson has really, he was almost a punchline. A year ago, even at the beginning of the season, he was sort of a joke. And what he's done, tonight it wasn't quite as much. I don't know, man. I'd have to say LeBron right now, but, I mean, there are really just a ton of ways you could answer that question.
Yeah, true that. I think Tristan Thompson's a very viable option as well. I'll throw it down to you, Keegs. What do you, as a man who has played the market, what stock has risen the most here?
I love Lindell's answer because I wouldn't have thought LeBron because he's already considered the best player, but he's absolutely right. Lindell nailed it. Just the way he's carried this team, his stock has even risen. That's just amazing. But obviously, I'm not even going to get into him because I don't think anyone really believes that he's going to turn into an NBA All-Star. I think everyone's amazed by his performance because it's come out of nowhere. But I'm going to look at two guys. I think Sean Livingston, who's played for something ridiculous, like 7 teams in the last 7 years or 8 teams in the last 8 years. He's shown that he had some just devastating knee injuries, some of the worst we've ever seen in NBA. And people, at one point, they didn't even think he was going to be able to walk, let alone play basketball again. And he's come in and given them some real minutes. And I think, shown that his career is still 100% viable. And then I look at a guy like David Lee, which is kind of funny to say because he makes $17 million a year. But, he's been on the bench, and he steps in and he contributes right away. It just shows what a professional he is. I guarantee he's not on the Warriors next year. They're going to need to get that salary off the books. And some other team will want him, and he'll want to go somewhere where he can play. So I think the way he's playing just in these last, you know, 20 minutes that he's put in the finals, it's probably reassuring for other teams looking at that, that this is still a guy that's a, you know, former All-Star, former, I think, 13 NBA. He's a legitimate player that just is not on a team that fits his skill set, you know, this year.
Yeah.
And I think Steve Kerr definitely bears being mentioned as well. I mean, what he's done.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the box score right now. Another guy, you mentioned Bogut only getting 3 minutes. Festus Ezeli, who is arguably the co-MVP of the final game of that Houston series, when he really carried the team at stretches
where the hell's he been?
And he didn't even get off the bench. He got a DNP coach's decision. what he's done with these team and these parts and the movable parts, I mean, that's another reason why Cleveland is, you know, Cleveland's 2-2 is very different than the Warriors 2-2. Is Cleveland legitimately had a two-man bench tonight. You know, they ended up bringing a few people in garbage time, but they had J.R. Smith and James Jones. They had an 8-man rotation in the earlier games because you had Mike Miller's bloated corpse out there. But, I mean, Kendrick Perkins, I mean, they just don't have anybody else. Everyone's playing monster minutes, and you look over at Golden State, they've got a whole second lineup that they can bring in and interchange, and then they'll have another couple of players who really can contribute off the bench at any point. Maurice Spieth only played two minutes, but he's been a huge contributor at times during these playoffs.
No, you're right. It's like an army with twice as many guys versus, you know, a guy with, you know, an army with half as many guys. And, you know, I was looking up and down the whole Cleveland roster, active and inactive, and I said, this guy here is dead.
Exactly right. Brendan Haywood is on there. They've got a whole roster of bloated NBA corpses.
Mm. One of the greatest lines from the greatest sports movie of all time, Major League. But not to get off track there. Okay, I'm going to go biggest stock rise, and also working off of Keegan's point of a guy who's not going to be there in Oakland next year, if Oakland is in Oakland next year. And that's going to be Draymond Green. I mean, this guy, second rounder out of Michigan State. Spartans always produce big, tough guys who can score. Got a little Charles Oakley to him, a little old school, not going to back down. You know, he's kind of established over the year an attitude for this team. And the Warriors, you know, they're these young, flashy guys, but they are not soft by any means. You know, Curry's got an edge to him on the court big time. And it all pretty much works outwardly from the presence and attitude of Draymond Green. But his contract is up this year, I think. They had him for the last couple seasons for less than $1 million, and somebody's going to back up the Brinks truck for that guy, and he deserves it. So Draymond Green is going to get a lot of green. Biggest stock rise in this postseason, largest stock fall, and I came up with what I think is a good one because it could also be the biggest stock rise, but I'm going to go with the largest stock fall, Dellavedova, okay, because Kyrie goes out, he comes in, he plays, and he's real spry and a lot of energy. And it's funny that you even mention him in the same sentence as the word All-Star, Keeks, you know, because I think he'll struggle to be a starter for the rest of his career. And, you know, so if Curry continues to expose him and the Cavs lose the next two, like I think they will, he will have anteed a lot of chips to the table when he had those good performances. And, you know, everybody looking at each other thinking, for real? Okay, holy shit. You know, this might work out just fine. They might be just fine. And then in the end, you know, you get a little tape on the guy. He's playing more minutes than he's used to. You know, he's never played 40 minutes before in his life. And cramping up out there, getting beat on defense. It went 3-for-14 tonight shooting. So I hate to pile on a guy, but I think the largest stock fall after all the dust settles from the series is going to be the small, feisty Australian out of St. Mary's College who recently had his number retired and became the fourth player in the history of that college to do so. Throw it back to Lindell. Biggest stock decline in this playoffs.
I just want to back to your Draymond point. The Warriors are going to – he's a restricted free agent. The Warriors are going to have the opportunity to match anything, and they've already said they're going to. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
they're gonna pay him.
Hey, they got a lot of people are gonna have, you know, be this go around, be like, okay, you know, let make this right now, make, you know, so we'll see. But
I mean, I think he's arguably the most important player, non Curry. He's arguably more important to the team than Klay Thompson is at this point. I mean, you said it, it's his toughness, his heart. I think the coach might have called him, described him as the heartbeat of the team. I mean, he really is. Even when he struggles in certain areas, it doesn't matter. He really is. And he's also sort of the vocal leader. As far as people who've fallen off, I mean, we've mentioned several. But I mean, I don't know anybody. It's hard to say Dellavedova because no one knew who he was 3 weeks ago. You can't really say his stock has fallen or is going to fall. He didn't really have any. You know, he's a penny stock.
Well, he did after the first couple games of this series. That's what I'm saying. That the chips were handed to the center of the table. You know, they begin to look at him differently, and very quickly he's exposed for kind of, you know, second stringer that he is. That's all.
It's almost like a mini version of the Lynn Sanity, just in a very micro, you know, 5-day period.
Yeah.
Just a mini version of it. They said his gear was just flying off the shelves. I don't know. Did you guys hear that nickname, Machine Gun Deli? Is that something that people have been saying? I've got a guy in my kitchen from Cleveland, and he's been just the last 3 days just popping off about Machine Gun Deli. I don't know if that's a national thing. I kind of dug it.
Now I'll be rooting
for
you more.
I think I couldn't even be mad about that. I just enjoyed the nickname. I don't know. It's a little early. Let's see how the rest plays out. But I'm not going to argue with that. I think he'll be a contributor in the NBA for years to come. But whether he ever gets to be a full time starter I think that's questionable at best.
Yeah, agreed. Keegs, complete the trifecta of largest stock fall.
Well, I'm gonna go a little bit different route. I mean, Lynn will pick LeBron as the biggest stock riser. I'm gonna go along those same routes and say Steph Curry. I mean, he's the reigning MVP. And where was he first three games? You know, it's pretty clear that he's not the best player on the court. So it's not like it's fallen a lot, but I think he's come down a couple notches. I think people are starting to probably question that MVP vote when LeBron is clearly the best player in the world. So I'm not saying he's not second or third or, you know, at least in that conversation of top five players in the NBA who, you know, with, you know, a lot of guys being hurt this year, stepped up and got that MVP. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but he's clearly not the best player in the world. So that's who I'd have to pick. But it's tough picking. You know, there aren't a lot of guys who haven't stepped up. So that's a tough call.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the MVP, this is a situation where it's exactly like Jordan. You know, LeBron probably should have won the last seven MVPs. And it's just
yeah,
like Jordan should have won every MVP that he played in every full season from 1990 to 1999 or whatever it was. But you just sort of, I think there's a little malaise about it, and they just sort of want to, you know, give one to Barkley or give one to Curry, you know. But legitimately, yeah, I mean, that's a very good point by Keegan.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron taking a little two-week vacation in the middle of the season didn't really help his stock, you know. I mean, everyone else is.
But it might have helped his game.
It definitely helped his game. Yeah, once he came back, the Cavs were a different team. He was playing at a different level. But, yeah, before that little vacation, and then, you know, it's easy to make fun of him taking that time off. So I think that's what cooked it. But next year he'll be going into the season as the favorite again. You know, this is a wake-up call to all the sports writers who have that vote. So
they get the troops back. Yeah, they get the troops back, and they probably will. The Warriors might be the favorite, but, yeah, they'll be 1-2 once again. And this is a matchup we could see heading into the future finals a couple more times now. So we're going to, with 6 minutes left here on the California Sports Report, you guys have done a hell of a job as always, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for listening in. We got a little bit of time, so I'm going to wedge an NBA Finals impromptu quiz into here at the end. Throw it at these guys. And we've had some mix-ups before trying to mute people. So let's whoever's going for it, we're just going to go honor system, honor code here. You'll have to just put your phone down for 10 seconds. And let me try this right here. Let me mute Keegan. Let me see if I can mute Keegan. No, that's not good. Okay, so we're going honor system. Yeah, I can't do it. Okay. You know what? Yeah, that'll work fine. Okay. There's a good chance we're going to have this Warriors. Excuse me. There's a good chance we're going to have this Warriors-Cavaliers matchup again here in the near future. The most common NBA matchup in the finals, that one's pretty obvious if you're more than like a fan for a couple of years. That's going to be Lakers versus Celtics. Let's start with you,
Great
Wendell.
Video game also.
Oh, sure was. Yeah, that was a phenomenal. Even on the PC, PC version, late 80s, that was the best, the vintage one. They've squared off 12 times. The next most common matchup has occurred 6 times. Go ahead and put your phone down for 10 seconds, Keegan. Wendell,
right.
I'm going to ask you, what is the second most common NBA Finals matchup in all time? Which two teams? You have 10 seconds.
Jesus. It's not Lakers, Celtics. Lakers. It's going to be one of those two teams and someone else.
Exactly. Couple seconds.
Dude. I mean, it can't be Lakers, Pistons.
Okay, got it. You there, Keeks?
I'm here. I'm back.
All right, the question is, what is the second most common match, aside from Celtics versus Lakers, what is the second most common NBA Finals matchup that's occurred 6 times?
6 times.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, they're...
I basically punted on this, Teague.
Yeah, this is tough. Cause I would go with the Celtics because the Celtics won, you know, like 10 straight championships back in the Bill Russell days, right? So who are they playing on from the Western Conference?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Who the hell was winning the Western Conference from 1961 to 1970?
I mean, was there even a Western Conference? I think it was all in the East. I think it was the Sixers.
There were only eight teams. They were all in the East.
I think it was. I'm going to go to. This is so crazy. I'm going to go to Sixers versus the Celtics. I don't even know if they've ever played. But
I love
guess
it.
This is great, okay? Because Lindell goes Lakers versus Pistons. Keegan goes Celtics versus Sixers. And the answer, Lakers versus Sixers.
Oh, gosh. Of course.
That was tougher than
it should have been.
6 times?
I'm sorry.
The Sixers won in 83, right? They won in 83.
The Lakers won the other five times.
And then AI took them to the finals, what, twice? And they played the Lakers one time there.
Yeah, the Lakers won 5. The Sixers have won 1.
Huh. All
right. It must have been a couple in the early 70s there.
It also includes when the Sixers were the Syracuse Nationals. So that might have been a bit of a start with. That might have been a bit of a start with.
The Cuse National curveball.
My apologies. Okay. All right. Keegan, you can go first. Lindell, mute yourself here for a couple seconds. Keegan, what team has the best winning percentage in finals history? 10 seconds, and I got to hold you to that.
Bulls.
Okay.
Bulls.
Lindell, come on back. Lindell, we're ready for you. You're ready for us. What team has the best winning percentage in NBA Finals history?
Spurs?
Keegan goes with the Bulls. Lindell goes with the Spurs. The answer is the Chicago Bulls.
Nicely done.
24-11. The Spurs are 23-11. So that's almost unfair, too.
Good call,
yeah. Not bad, not bad. I like that one.
Yeah, this is torture trivia for you guys. I should apologize. okay, last one here. We're going to finish up. We got 60 seconds left. So go ahead and just rattle these off, and I'll write them down as you say them. So you could both stay live on this one. The final question, the tiebreaker is, tell me which franchises have never been to the NBA Finals. Franchises with 0 appearances. There are 7 of them. 7 of them.
0 appearances.
Timberwolves, the Hornets,
With both Hornets.
Yeah, both, I know, exactly. What's their new name? The Pelicans? Does that count as two?
Yeah. All right, I'll give – no, Keeks, you're in. You got Hornets. You got Oklahoma City, New Orleans, and Linda, I'll give you Charlotte.
So, the Kings are
Toronto? Toronto's never made
it. Linda throws out the Kings. Keeks throws out Toronto.
Is the Kings, even in the wild days, have never made it? Really?
That's five of them. So, yeah, those are all correct. Keegan's got T-Wolves, Hornets, Toronto. Lindell's got Charlotte and the Sacramento Kings.
Clippers.
Who said that?
I did, Lindell.
Yes.
One more.
Anybody got the tiebreaker here?
Milwaukee. No, they did it. They made it.
They made it. Yeah, they won with Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
I should say there's actually two franchises left. Whoever gets the next one wins. We've covered Charlotte and Toronto.
Orlando. No, they fucking made it.
Orlando made it, yeah. I was going to say that with Magic. I mean, with Shaq and Penny.
Dude, I'm gonna let's just leave it a tie. I like it. That was a hard fought battle. We'll solve this riddle next week.
That's a good
sounds good, man. Yeah, we got to get out of here next Thursday. I'll tell you, it's Vancouver / Memphis and the Denver Nuggets.
Nuggets, really?
All right, gentlemen. Well, that another half hour just absolutely flew by. We're gonna get on the air again soon, presumably after Game 5, which is a huge, huge game
Sunday
for both of these franchises. Yeah. So there we go. Lindell, thanks a bunch, buddy. Keegan, thank you as well. And we'll get you back on the air here real soon. For sure. Hell of a job. All right,
guys.
On behalf of these guys, thanks again for listening. We'll catch you back here in short time on some version of the California Sports Report, likely entitled NBA Finals After Dark on Sunday evening. Good night.